Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Okay, let's get this thing started. The Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Brzezicki, along with Mike Kapler. I'm the Breeze Man, and he's the Cap. And the question before us is, are we to do everything Jesus commanded? Because it's something that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who died for our sins and rose again from the dead and rose us to life with him, he said to his disciples in what is known as the Great Commission, teach them everything I have commanded you. So Jesus was telling his disciples to go out into the world and to teach people everything that he has commanded them. And so we've been talking the last couple of weeks about some of the things that Jesus talked about and commanded his disciples, and the various things, like from the Sermon on the Mount, the things that he was telling them. He had pulled his disciples aside and was teaching them various things. And so are we, as believers, supposed to teach these things as well? You know, are these things for us? And so we've been talking about how, just real briefly, under the law, these were the things that applied. Jesus was teaching his disciples who were under the law, the things regarding the law. And that type of thing is not for us today. Go back and listen to the last couple of episodes, and even really the three before that, where we talked about the law being done away with, and you know, get a gist for what we're saying here. But really, if we are to follow everything that Jesus said, if you will read his words, if a person will take a serious look at the things that Jesus said, how much of that stuff are you really doing? You might fool yourself into believing you're doing some of it, but if you really read all of what Jesus commanded, all of what he said, all of what he ministered to those who were under the law, you got to realize that you're kidding yourself if you think that you're actually doing those things. They had a purpose. See, we're not running from the words of Jesus like it was claimed in a book that we were several years ago. We're not running from the words of Jesus, but we're trying to look at them in context, in the context in which he spoke them. And the context was Jews who were under the law and not believers who were under the new covenant. So with that, let's keep on talking about some of these things that Jesus was saying and whether or not we're supposed to do everything that Jesus commanded.
You just can't throw the entire Bible into a blender and try and mix it all together and inhale it, consume it, and somehow try to think it's some sort of a nutritious drink when context is everything. The Bible blender, it's a big thing in the Christian church, and probably has been for quite a while, maybe more so in recent centuries since the Bible has gotten into more hands with mass producing and so forth. You got to remember that most of the time since the resurrection of Jesus, people did not have what we consider to be called a Bible in their possession. They just right. didn't. And I remember seeing a social media post, and I think it went something like this. I'm going from memory here, Joel, but I think it said something like, ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Jesus. And that is not a true statement.
Right.
Because again, think of all the millions of people who came to belief in Christ over the centuries who, again, did not have what we know of as a Bible in their possession. It just wasn't put together that way. So this thing in Matthew 28 where Jesus said that, do everything that I've commanded you, go and teach it. Whatever I've commanded, go and teach it. You know, that word there, commanded, It really only shows up like 15 times in the New Testament. It's a Strong's word, number 1781, I think. The only other place where it really implies a command being handed down to those to whom Jesus was speaking was in John 15:14 and John 15:17. Let's talk about love if you want to talk about command. There's also a reference in Acts 1:2 referring to the command to wait in Jerusalem, which I joked about last week. and there is one mention using this word, and I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. But it was referring back to commands under the Old Covenant. And in one case, he was referring back to, I think it was Joseph, who was commanding those around him what to do with his bones when he died. So the point here is, you know, we sometimes emphasize this word command. It's not as predominant in the New Testament pages as one might think, in the sense that people use it,
right?
Especially in the legalistic church world. So when Jesus said that, and I made the point a couple of weeks ago, I think, that we don't really know everything Jesus taught them.
Right.
I mean, we get these little blips that the writers put down on paper, but these guys were obviously having more conversations than what we see written in the pages. And so I just think there's a lot to keep in mind, because legalistic people, even if they don't think they're legalistic, what they try to do is they try to shrink the law down. We used the word selective here recently on this topic. They're being selective, picking and choosing which ones they think they want to apply. But as you said, Joel, there is nobody who is advocating that we keep or teach and command what Jesus commanded, that we do the same that he taught to his disciples. There's nobody doing that. So what we try to do is, what do we try to do? We try to shrink the law down to something that's doable. And we take these bits and pieces. Again, most of us are Gentiles. We weren't born Jewish. And so we never had the law. We were never under it to begin with. When we talk about the law being abolished and set aside and some of those things we've talked about recently, that was for the Jewish people. But when that occurred, that wall coming down involved both Jew and Gentile being able to come together, because basically the law was hindering the Jews from attaining righteousness, and the law was hindering us from being able to enter a covenant. It needed to end so the Jews could attain righteousness by grace through faith, and that we could do the same in a new and better covenant, which would be established upon better promises. So these things that Jesus was speaking to people, namely his disciples for the most part, much of that, again, was not to try to get them to live a more moral life or to follow the rules better. He was showing them that you really can't do it. You need something better. You need a better option. For centuries now, you've tried to do this, and he would elevate it. You know, we talked about that, like in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, during the, and you pointed this out too, Joel, the Sermon on the Mount. It's just kind of a nickname that we've given it. It might be a heading in your Bible. Just like the Great Commission, like in Matthew 28 that we were talking about, there are so many human fingerprints in the pages of the Bible. There really is no such thing called a Great Commission. There is really no such thing called a Sermon on the Mount. These are just things that we do, even chapters and verses, even sometimes the names of the books in the Bible. We just use these things as reference purposes, right? But we try to shrink the law down, legalistic people do anyway, and try to make it doable. And it was never meant to be doable. It was never meant to increase morality and reduce sin. It would end up having the opposite effect. And so why would we want to cling to such a ministry? And to suggest that some of it was thrown out and some of it isn't, that goes against the law. Some people will say, well, what Jesus was saying there in Matthew 5, that sounds even harder than the law that came through Moses. Well, it was the same thing. Jesus was just revealing what it really required. You see, because Jesus couldn't change the law, he couldn't make it harder. Right. Which makes no sense at all, right? The Jewish people couldn't do it, no matter how hard they chased after it. So why would Jesus make it even harder for Christians to try to attain a certain standard? It just doesn't make any sense. But like we started out a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how sometimes Bible verses just mesmerize people. It's almost like they get hypnotized or something, and they just apply it to everything, and none of it really adds up when we do that. So we got to be careful about, you know, Jesus couldn't change the standard either. He wasn't making it harder than even what the law said. He wasn't changing the rules. I heard a pastor one time doing a teaching. He said, well, he's Jesus. He could do that. No, he couldn't. If he did that, if he made the rules even harder, if he altered it, if he changed it, then he is going against the law, because the law states that nothing could be added to the law. Nothing could be removed from it. You can't just go out there and make it what you want it to be. But the church has done that religiously by selectively picking and choosing what they think should be applied from that, and then somehow mixing grace and law. And, you know, I think, Joel, if Paul were on social media, the Apostle Paul, and he were to post the entire book of Romans, I wonder how many people would read it. You probably know from experience that the longer your post, which is sometimes necessary to make your point, you might get fewer likes. Fewer responses on it. I get that. We're all busy, and sometimes I don't want to read that stuff either. You get a shorter post where you can make a quick summary. Sometimes you'll get a lot more response from that. People like that because we're in the fast food age. We can just, you know, look at it quick and you know, move on. Maybe if Paul had posted something like, you are not under law, you are under grace. Now, there's a great social media post.
There you go.
Plain and simple. And, you know, Romans kind of revolves around that thought. You are not under law. You are under grace. So let's quit trying to put people under little tiny jots and tittles here and there of that old law that was a ministry of death and condemnation, and act like Jesus told us to teach this stuff. Good luck with that, because he said you can't remove any of it. You have to do all of it. He wasn't trying to get people to do it all. He was trying to get them to see they couldn't, and the need for a savior would suddenly come to light.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, and he could have just as easily said to today's Christians, I didn't come to change the law. I didn't come to change the standard. I didn't come to change the rules. I came to fulfill the law. And so in order to fulfill the law, so this was another thing that he was doing. He was showing them that what the law said, he was actually fulfilling it. So he wasn't changing it. But indeed, he was also showing these people who were essentially what Paul writes about in that book of Romans, in that epistle, in Romans 10. Some people tend to miss this, but the Jews were seeking to establish their own righteousness by keeping the law. And so one thing that is shown in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount or in other places when he's talking law talk is that, see, you think that you're being righteous. You're pursuing righteousness by trying to keep this thing, and you think that you're maybe getting there, but guess what? Here's what it really says. This is what the standard really is. Like he said, he wasn't changing the standard. He was making it more clear what it really was. And unfortunately, what we do today, another thing like you were talking about, is people break it up. They take things out of context. They try to make it doable. They'll change things like we had been talking about, bringing your gift to the altar. It was a literal animal sacrifice, and we'll change that to, well, it's this altar that's in the church and it's bringing money, but it has nothing to do with that. So we'll make it is into something that we can do, and then the things that we really don't think that we can do, we'll just ignore them. So not only in today's church, there's a mixture, people mixing the law and law talk in with what we call the new covenant and life in Christ, and also being very selective about it. And it's just really, it's something that I use the word fool. You know, think people are fooling themselves. Yes, I'm calling them foolish. You fools. I'm breaking the law myself. And Paul called the people fools as well, and like you said, James did too. But if we're looking at the words of Jesus and thinking that we're going to be following them, that we're actually following what he did and teaching others to do the same, really, we are just fooling ourselves. We're making ourselves out to be doing something, and we're really not doing it. We think that we are, but we're really not doing it. And so, you know, one of these other things, you know, Jesus had said something about, you know, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. After these things, the Gentiles seek. So it just goes to show that he was not talking to Christians and he was not talking to Gentiles. He was talking to Jewish people. That was in the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. That was in Matthew 6, 31. You know, for after these things, the Gentiles seek. Sure, we can try to apply that. Don't worry about these things. But the point is that Jesus was talking to Jewish people, not to Gentiles. And so we need not try to Christianize these things and try to make them fit into life in Christ when they were meant for those Jewish people who were under them. And all of this goes to highlight another problem, of course, that we talk a lot about, and that is, you know, people clinging to the law. Next week, you know, we're going to switch gears a little bit and ask a question. What if the people in Galatia, just for example, the Galatians, you know, how they had come to Christ apart from the law, and they began their lives in Christ apart from the law. They were doing fine without the law. And then some people came along and started telling them that they needed to add the law to their lives in Christ. What if those people had not come along and tried to tell these people that they had to add the law to their lives? Would the Galatians and other people, you know, other Gentiles who had never been under the law, but were now being told they had to keep the law, if they had never heard that false message of the law needing to be added to their lives, what would have happened to them? Would they have continued to be running well, like Paul said, with their lives in Christ apart from the law? Or would they have gravitated toward some sort of law and rules system? We don't have the answer necessarily, but we'll talk about it. That's coming up next week on the Growing in Grace podcast. You can find all of our podcasts at growingingrace.org.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.